The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 11 degrees at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Ellie Wand. Here are today's headlines. A spike in violence in our schools. Is the REM doing enough to solve the problem of noisy trains? And many Canadians want to shut down big tobacco. Violence in elementary and middle school systems has doubled since 2020, with 46 armed or aggravated assaults reported in Montreal primary and secondary schools in 2020. This year, there have already been 80. The reasons for the uptick are unclear, with school officials and parents trying to find solutions quickly. Jacob Snyder has the story. Why the dramatic uptick in violence in schools?
No one can agree on a singular cause for the uptick. Some suggestions include children being cooped up at home during COVID and the mental health issues lack of socialization cause. Socialization is critical to development of emotional regulation in children at young ages. According to statistics from Journal de Montreal, the return to in-person schooling saw violent incident numbers spike. Missing out on some of the development and then being forced to return to a stressful school ecosystem may be leading to violent outbursts. Situations that more emotionally mature children could handle without violence.
You would need to speak to the principal.
Oh, sweet. Could I speak to them?
I'm not the principal. I don't take care of that stuff. So you can send an email to Ms. Beaudry.
What are schools doing to counteract the uptick in violence?
Not enough. Jennifer Harrett, vice president of FACE Elementary and Secondary School in Montreal, was very quick to pass off responsibility for violence initiatives to the principal and refused to discuss them. The more responsive schools, on the other hand, are offering more mental health services to children, both at school and outside of it. Many schools now employ a full-time social worker. Having someone for the children to talk to when they feel instances of rage can make a big difference for how they process it. Counselors can give them tools to properly deal with their feelings. Also, what they've been doing and continue to do is report and investigate all acts that resemble violence. Nothing is getting brushed under the rug or overlooked.
In general, the solution to youth violence is a series of strategically developed and interconnected community programs.
What can concerned parents do for their children who may be involved or around violent situations?
Concordia Professor Ted Ruthland, whose research focuses on urban planning, suggests getting children involved in community programs that educate about violence prevention. He mentions it working in larger, more violent cities like Chicago and believes it would work in Montreal as well. Also, parents telling their children the age-old saying, if you see or hear something, say something, applies here. If they hear people around them discussing violence or something similar, for their own safety and the safety of others, they need to report it.
Thanks, Jacob. That was Jacob Snyder on the increased violence in schools. Police are investigating the death of a 49-year-old man who was stabbed to death on St. Catherine Street in Westmount last night. According to the SPVM, the incident took place at around midnight. No suspects were found at the scene and no arrests have been made. Investigators are set to question witnesses later today. The province's new healthcare bill has many doctors worried. They've created a new alliance to fight the bill. Marie-Elizabeth Milot has a story for us.
The province's new health bill will centralize the purchase of medications, but medical specialists worry it will hurt patient care by adding more bureaucracy to an overworked health system. So the Specialist Federation is uniting with the province's patient rights group. They aim to bring back healthcare to its source, patients. Dr. Yves Drouin, who practiced medicine for more than 20 years, worries about new medication being approved. Both have common goals in the sense that both parties fear that now the authorization of the DMA will now be made by INES. That's not the only problem with the bill. Doctors worry to the point of creating an alliance with a patient's rights group. They plan on fighting. Unfortunately, political analyst Robert Frank says the provincial government doesn't have the best track records when it comes to changing bills.
Because they feel they can get reelected even if they do not, and they feel that they can simply let the medical practitioners muddle through.
Centralizing INES province-wide will create a longer wait list for patients who require medication. Patients will now wait longer for authorization. INES will decide if medication and new medications will be authorized. However, illnesses are not uniform and what works for a patient might not work for another. They fear it will further push away patients from healthcare. Marie-Elisabeth Foucault-Milo, Concordia News, Montreal.
The REM is driverless, fast, and 100% electric. But is it way too loud? The new REM is sparking controversy among residents in the neighborhood. Elena Meyer joins us now from downtown Griffintown. Elena, what exactly are these complaints about?
Thank you, Ellie. Neighboring residents have been complaining about the excessive noise pollution ever since the REM was installed. Residents have to live with the noise of the rail cars, which run 20 hours a day at least, at a frequency of once every 2.5 minutes during rush hour.
How bad is the noise for residents?
Well, many residents say they're fed up with the constant noise from the REM. Here's what one resident had to say.
It is often, like, almost every time that the train passed, there is not some noises.
What steps is the REM taking to address the concerns of residents affected by the train noise?
Both to CPDQ President Jean-Marc Capot and his response to the situation and the public outcry and sell noise barriers and dynamic absorbers to absorb vibrations. They also plan to polish the rails to make them smoother.
We identified the source of the sound is interaction between the wheel and the rail due to asperity on the rail. So there is two sets of measures. The first one is to grind the rail to be sure that it's smoother. And the second one is to install dampers on the track that reduce also the emission of vibration.
Thanks, Elena. That was Elena live from Griffintown. For those of you coming in from Île-Perrot, Vaudreuil, and Hudson, rejoice. The fifth lane on the Île-aux-Tourtes Bridge will be reopening. Transport Quebec made the announcement earlier this morning. The bridge had its fifth lane closed earlier this year so that maintenance could be done due to the deepening cracks. Close to 80,000 vehicles use the bridge daily. The lane will act as a moving third lane during rush hour to increase traffic flow. As cybercrime continues to evolve, scammers evolve too. Most Canadians have experienced fraud attempts and don't know how to handle a data breach. Gianni Torquia has the story.
88% of Canadians have experienced attempts at fraudulent activity, according to a new RBC survey. As cybercrimes become more sophisticated, the ability to spot fraud attempts becomes much harder. Open source intelligence researcher AJ Cordero says the tools scammers have give them way more power than once thought.
There hasn't been an exponential growth of scammers now that the technology has become a lot easier to use. It just means that now the people that have been in the scamming business for a minute can scam a lot more people on a mass scale.
Paolo D'Agostino, a mortgage specialist for RBC, says the best way to stay safe is to go back to the basics.
Make sure that your password is not, you don't use the same password for something as sensitive as your online banking that you would use, let's say, for a library membership.
She adds that a new way to stay safe from AI and tech scams is to have a password among family and friends.
Between, like, sometimes your parents and children, you should make sure maybe to validate by voice and maybe even have a password established between the two of you.
That was Gianni Torquia reporting on data breaches and scams. Montrealers are finding it harder and harder to find housing. A new survey from housing group FRAPRU shows that more than 490 individuals remain without housing since July 1st. 115 of those are in Montreal. What is the biggest challenge that community organizations face? Corinne Boyer spoke with Joshua Aravello, coordinator for the nonprofit group Community Services for Refugees and Immigrants. He says that high prices are to blame.
We've been seeing also regarding price-wise, it's too expensive from what also the welfare is giving to the family or for one single person, you know, per month for them to rent a place, even $1,500 or over $1,000 easily, you know.
Have you had people that you found apartments for and that they weren't able to keep the apartment because it was too expensive?
It depends, because now what the strategy is regarding the people arriving is that, you know, they try to be more than one person, up to even four, even five people, you know, unite together, and then so they can be able to, you know, pay the rent, you know.
Have you seen a difference in the last couple of years? Has it gotten worse?
Oh, yeah. Like our organization, we have now about 23 years that we're situated in Montreal. And in the past, it was a bit more easier. There was more help. But now, obviously, we're more organizations that are trying to help. But unfortunately, subvention-wise, you know, money-wise, you know, they're lacking also the government. So we're able to, you know, help as much as we can to others, you know.
And on average, how long does it take to find a housing per family, would you say?
Those that are, they move fast, you know, and like, I guess there are a bunch of people that knew each other from the Y or some other hotels. You know, they could maybe a week or two max, but for family ones, so them it could take maybe a bit longer, you know, over a month easily, you know, but also...
That was Corin Boyer speaking with Joshua Aravelo, coordinator for the nonprofit group Community Services for Refugees and Immigrants. A fire broke out in Laval this morning, forcing four families out of their homes. Firefighters were called to the scene at around 5 a.m. By 6:30, 40 firefighters were fighting the flames, trying to get the fire under control. It took them 2 hours to get control of the fire, which has left four homes damaged. Investigators are still determining the cause. The legal hearing with the tobacco companies in Canada is at a turning point, with 70% of Canadians believing that the province should fight the tobacco industry in court in order for there to be less tobacco products being sold across the country. The public is now waiting to hear whether or not the tobacco industry will let another 5 years of being able to sell their products without facing lawsuits. Finn Lean has the story for us.
The majority of Canadians wish to see a decline in the amount of cigarettes being sold across the country. There is currently a court hearing taking place determining whether or not the Canadian tobacco industry will get another 5 years of no lawsuits. Flory Ducas is the co-director and spokesperson for the Quebec Coalition for Tobacco Control.
A majority say that they support the fact that government should be looking for non-financial issues, including a phase-out, which is supported by 70% of Canadians.
Cigarette smoking causes lots of harm to the healthcare system in every province, and the Quebec provincial government, according to a report, could save around $22 billion if smoking went down by just 5% in the next 12 years. Gabby Chabot works for Concordia University in health promotion.
If nothing changes, then nothing will change in the outcome, right? So if the government doesn't do anything additional to reduce the sale of tobacco to make smoking more inconvenient, then the rates of tobacco use will stay the same. You need some kind of input in order for the output to change, right?
Groups responsible for controlling tobacco are wanting the governments across Canada to be more clear about how exactly they plan to one day end the sale of cigarettes, vapes, and every other tobacco-filled product, so that there isn't such a burden on the healthcare system and the lives of people who are suffering because of it. I'm Finn Lane for Concordia News in Montreal.
We're already in our last week of September, if you can believe that, and the smell of pumpkin spice lattes is in the air. The king of R&B will be performing at the Super Bowl halftime. Pop Montreal enters its 22nd year, and late-night TV fans are celebrating. Aaron Sees has all our entertainment news.
Our strike rules. Do not do the work of a striking writer or actor. That's called scabbing. We have facts on our website that explain exactly what we're asking of non-members and what work we're asking.
That was Adam Conover, a comedian and writer who's been on the WGA picket lines for the past 5 months. A deal's been tentatively agreed upon after intense negotiations. Production has been on hold for television movies all summer, and it's an exciting development for late-night talk show fans. However, the actors' strike, which started in July, remains unresolved. The deal is pending approval from the WGA's board. In other news, Bruce Willis's wife, Emma, recently spoke with USA Today about his frontotemporal dementia diagnosis. During the interview, she could not confirm if Bruce fully understands his condition due to the illness's symptoms. Frontotemporal dementia can cause speech problems, motor skills, and personality changes, making it hard for the person to grasp what's happening. Last year, Willis retired from acting, citing health conditions due to aphasia. Despite the difficulties, Willis's wife emphasized finding joy in their family life and focus on the positive moments.
Funny how we shrink ourselves.
That's Hidden Heart, a newly released single by Sarah Rossi. She's a self-described mythical sonic creature of sorts with a colorful, chameleonic voice. Rossi will be performing this week at Montreal's 22nd edition of Pop Montreal, which is starting tomorrow. This year's festival features more than 400 artists and will be enjoyed by over 60,000 people. It delivers a cross-section of art forms and provides an introduction to the next generation of musical talent and independent art forms. Rossi's show is on September 30th in collaboration with Mali Obamsawin Sextet and Pompeii at the Sala Rosa. Doors open at 7:30 p.m. In celebrity drama news, actress Sophie Turner and singer Joe Jonas decided to keep their children in New York City, reaching a temporary court agreement on Monday. The now estranged couple made headlines for their public quarrel over whether they wanted their children or where they wanted their children to live following the split. Jonas and Turner had been married for 4 years. Years after the release of Yeah, R&B superstar Usher will be taking the main stage at the 2024 Super Bowl halftime show in Las Vegas. He joins the ranks of Beyoncé, Rihanna, Travis Scott, and Bruce Springsteen, and many more. Being asked to perform at the halftime show has become the ultimate form of mainstream acceptance. In a statement, Usher said, "It's an honor of a lifetime to finally check a Super Bowl performance off my bucket list." He's looking forward to putting on a show unlike anything else.
Thanks, Aaron. That's Aaron Sees with Arts and Entertainment. The New York Yankees are fresh off a win coming into Toronto tonight. The Bengals eked out a win during Monday Night Football, and the Montreal Canadiens' first preseason outing ended in disappointment. Here's Stephanie Manning with all your sports news.
Austin Caulfield moves up, scores! What to say? A little bit of space, and Cole Caulfield will find it. Power play goal, 1-0 Montreal.
That's the call on TSN from the Canadiens' first goal of the preseason. Joshua Roy scored 4 minutes into the game last night against the New Jersey Devils. But although the Habs scored first, the Devils had the last word, winning 4-2. In Ottawa, the Senators had a closer game, winning 4-3 in overtime against the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Senators' next stop will be at the Bell Centre on Wednesday.
Mixon makes a cut. Joe Mixon! Tonight's first touchdown, and the Bengals go on top.
That's the call from ESPN as running back Joe Mixon of the Cincinnati Bengals scored a touchdown to pull out ahead of the Rams. It was a close game, but the Bengals eked out a win 19-16 over the Los Angeles team. This was their first win of the season. Quarterback Joe Burrow, still recovering from a calf injury, was able to power through and said after the game that he remains on the mend.
Ground ball, it's a base hit. Bumpy round third, he's coming home, he'll score.
The YES Network had the call as the New York Yankees extended their lead against the Arizona Diamondbacks last night. This would be the last point of the evening to clinch the Yankees' win, 6-4. But Blue Jays fans will be hoping the Yankees won't be so lucky tonight when they play in Toronto. The Blue Jays' postseason future hinges on their successes this week. Also in Toronto tonight, the Canadian women's national soccer team will play against Jamaica. The team will be looking to replicate their win against Jamaica from last Friday as they hope to qualify for the Paris Olympics. And that's all your news in sports.
Thanks, Stephanie. That was Stephanie Manning with sports. When you think of a 78-year-old man on a mobility scooter, you probably don't think about a drunk guy hauling a trailer down the road at 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning. Well, a Quebec man has been arrested for just that. The man, who has been charged with multiple drunk driving offenses, was arrested for going over double the speed limit on his scooter. He came to police's attention after a witness saw him lose control of his vehicle. The SQ has seized his scooter. But look out for a 78-year-old man in a golf cart next. It may be fall, but it'll still feel like summer for the next week or so, at least. Temperatures should stay around 20 degrees right through the weekend and will hit 24 degrees on Sunday. It's not sweater weather yet, so hold on to the last gasps of summer this week. That's your news to 11:30. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Ellie Wand.